Thank you, Rob. It's the download wrapping up here after the Northwestern Wildcats beat the Rutgers. What is the Scarlet? What is it? The
you're moving S's around.
Scarlet Knights.
Yeah, Scarlet Knights. Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Honest mistake.
What did I say? Rutgers.
Rutger.
Yeah, Rutgers. Okay. No, I know it's Rutgers. Rutgers. You got to say it with a little bit of New York swagger.
There's nothing like a Rutgers. Northwestern and Rutgers basketball game to push your show back 15 minutes. I'll tell you what. And the kiddies couldn't put away Rutgers. Had a hard time.
Sam Fanianovich in studio from WGN Sports. We're going to talk a little bit about another Chicago basketball team that could not keep up with the New York Knicks. You know, that juggernaut that is the New York Knicks.
Super team.
Super team with former Chicago Bulls. You know, right now the Chicago Bulls seem to be in disarray. Some illnesses on the team. Jimmy Butler did not play. He was sent back to Chicago. Mirotic did not play. He was sent back to Chicago. So what is it? I mean, they were shorthanded, but tonight not much of an effort, not much heart.
If I asked you who played the most minutes tonight,
okay,
who would you guess?
I'd guess
which Chicago Bull played the most minutes. I don't think you're going to get it.
I would guess Valentine.
No, he didn't play tonight. He was ill. He caught the flu bug as well.
Come on.
So three guys caught the...
Who's number five on that team?
Who's number five? Bobby Portis out of Arkansas.
Okay.
Former first-round pick.
Was he the guy who played the most minutes?
No. Paul Zipser.
Hey, Zipser!
Played the most minutes tonight.
Come on.
Do you know who Paul Zipser is? Well, could you pick Paul Zipser out of a lineup?
No, but we were surprised, and we did a little intel when the show started that he was a German player who was drafted in the second round. So we're Zipser fans here. Zipser. All right, so let's talk about the Bulls, because tonight, obviously shorthanded. I did not know that Valentine didn't play either. Who did play, and talk about who were the... I mean, what's the problem with this team right now?
The problem with this team is just they're so inconsistent, and they run a pace and space offense with guys that can't shoot. That is the...
Which we knew at the beginning of the year.
Biggest problem in a space and pace offense that is predicated on knocking down jump shots. When Doug McDermott plays today and goes 0 for 5... and scores 2 points in 17 minutes, but somehow manages to give up like 20 on the defensive end, that's a bad net. When players like that accumulate lots of bad nets, and more players have bad nets than good nets, that's by net, I mean the discrepancy between points scored and points allowed. I mean, the shooters aren't shooting, and they don't get back on defense, and they just get run out of the gym. They lost by 15 to the Knicks tonight. I mean, the Knicks are garbage. So what does it say about the Bulls? And we can blame injuries all we want, but... in all reality, it takes a humongous effort from Jimmy Butler.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
For them to win games.
For you to talk about the, what did you say, space and pace offense. It doesn't seem like the Bulls are winning with that offense. Instead, what they're winning with is Herculean efforts from Dwayne Wade or Jimmy Butler. We've seen Jimmy Butler get the NBA Player of the Week, the Eastern Conference Player of the Week last week, because he's putting up 52 against Toronto. That seems to be opposite of what Fred Hoiberg and the Bulls want to do, yet that's the only way they seem to win right now.
Fred looks a little lost. Now, a lot of that is because he's trying to play checkers with chess pieces. Now, you can look to the front office and look at the guys that they brought in. I mean, the roster construction is just bad. And they wanted to get younger and more athletic. Then they signed Rajon Rondo. Then Dwayne Wade fell into their laps. Now, I agree with the Wade move, because you bring in a vet with rings like that, three championship rings, he's going to make everybody better and he's going to get people to buy in. But him and Rondo stylistically make no sense. So that's why you've had Rondo upset, and he's been throwing towels in officials' faces, and he doesn't converse with Fred Hoiberg. So Fred's had a hard time managing some egos. He's also had a hard time with rotations and lineups and adjustments, and he looks outmatched. He really does. He looks like a college basketball coach trying to coach pro basketball.
Let's start right with the point guard, Rajon Rondo, who has been benched.
He's played the last two games out of necessity.
Yeah. So let's talk about this, because we knew, and I find it perplexing. Again, this goes back to the front office and Fred Hoiberg. This concept that right now what's happening with Rajon Rondo, everyone kind of called out back at the beginning of the season in September when Rajon Rondo was signed and came to Chicago. You're like, okay, well, that doesn't seem like that's the right fit. He doesn't seem to have the best chemistry in the locker room. Here we are in January, and all of it's coming true. So who's to blame for is it Rajon Rondo's fault because he's bad? I guess he's bad. Is it the front office's job for bringing him in, or is it Fred Hoiberg cannot get the most out of this player?
It's the front office. It's been the front office for the last 3-4 years. Now, the downward spiral began when Derrick Rose got hurt. I mean, that's when everything went south. That team could have won a title that year in 2012. And then they latched on to Rose, and they wanted to keep him. By the time Rose was finally ready to come back, you had Jimmy Butler emerging as a young superstar, and that's what he is right now. He's a superstar. They took the Butler side, and they got rid of Rose, and they got rid of Noah, and they got rid of Gasol, and they got rid of all those guys that were aligned with that team. And this roster has been completely turned over. The problem is I don't think they've allocated the right guys. They haven't developed said talent. And when you have a guy like Doug McDermott, who you traded two first-round picks for to get, you got to hit on that pick, man. You can't whiff on that. You can't trade two first-round picks for a guy that's a bum.
He's a bum right now.
He's playing like a bum
now, but when he was coming out of college, they thought he was going to be the sharpshooter they needed.
If you get rid of two first-round picks, though, and trade two picks to get one guy, he can't miss. You can't miss with a Nico Mirotić. You can't miss with a Bobby Portis, who we still don't know about. The verdict is still out on Bobby Portis.
I guess
Portis.
That's the issue with the Chicago Bulls. There is a lot of the jury still out on some of their young picks.
But what happens now? They're blocked by older players. If you want to get younger and more athletic and let these guys develop, you have to put them on the floor. They're not on the floor because Robin Lopez is playing 25 minutes. Dwayne Wade played 33 tonight. Gibson played 25 tonight. There's not enough minutes for you to get the younger players better. So the younger players aren't getting better, and the older players are just this hodgepodge, band-aid on the cut type group. It doesn't fit, it doesn't work, and that's why they're under 500.
All right, Sam Panionovich in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more because I want to flip the script, and I want to get optimistic. Because I think it's time for a run.
The season's almost halfway over. That's the optimistic part.
I think Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, I still think they have the star power, at least in that regard. Maybe not the actual on the court power, but they have the star power to at least be poster childs for the NBA as they get ready to playoffs. I feel like that's going to always play in the favor of any team. Dwayne Wade's going to get calls. The Bulls will be in the playoffs. That's my thought. We'll talk more about that with Sam here. Stay with us.
Basketball. Chi-Town. WGN Kaufman. Who won't stop me? I hoop with the
best of them. Swooped up the chest of them. Dunked on the ball. Yes. Basketball talk here on 720 WGN. The download. Sam Panionovich in studio. We're talking about the Bulls. We just sort of had a negative parade.
Yeah.
It rained all over the Chicago Bulls first half.
You want the truth, though.
But let's talk positive. One of the positives, I'll throw one positive out. The East is terrible in the way that you've got the Cavaliers and the Raptors and then everybody else. And from the 5 seed to the 12 at this point are all separated by 3 games. So the point being, the Bulls right now at 19-21, which is pretty awful, are still in a pretty picture to be able to make a run for playoffs.
Bold move by you saying, let's go to the positives, and you bring up a negative.
No, it's all strong.
The East is terrible.
The East is terrible. That's good for us.
That's a positive.
That's
okay,
good for the mediocre
Bulls. I see
Bulls,
what you did.
Right?
Okay,
yeah.
You told me to name 3 things.
Yes.
So I wrote down 3 things. Number 1, Jimmy Butler has solidified himself as a top 10, top 15, some say top 12, whatever. He should be an all-NBA team guy this year. First or second team. He should be.
Does he think he's starting in the All-Star game?
Probably not.
Do the fans accept him as a top-tier star?
I think they do, but he's at the same position as LeBron.
Right.
So we'll see if he starts or not.
I love that Dwayne Wade's getting...
Dwayne Wade is leading shooting guard minutes, which is why he's here. He is good for marketability.
But let me ask about Jimmy Butler's marketability. We saw last week he put 52 points up. We haven't seen that kind of point production. I mean, even Derrick Rose was not putting up 52 points in certain points. I mean, is he marketable to the NBA and to NBA fans as a bona fide star?
I think he is. I think after this season, he will be. I think he has to...
He was on the Olympic team. He did the Entourage stuff, hanging out with Mark Wahlberg.
Right. Now, some say he's a little Hollywood, and that tends to happen when you get a lot of money and people want to hang out with you. I don't fault him for that. The guy works hard. He puts in time. He's in the gym, and he plays almost harder on defense than he does on offense. I mean, the game against Toronto, we talk about him scoring 52, but he guarded DeMar DeRozan for pretty much the whole possession, and then when he got switched off, he came flying out of nowhere to try and block Kyle Lowry's 3. You rarely see a guy do it on both ends of the floor. That's why he's a superstar, in my opinion. He does it on both ends.
That's why he should be traded.
Don't trade the guy. If you trade the guy, then you got nothing. Yeah. You literally
have
nothing.
All right, so that's a positive.
And I don't trust the guys that they trade for.
Right. Well, we're seeing a star is born here in Chicago.
He's a star.
Jimmy Butler.
That's number one. Number two, the impact of Dwayne Wade. Now, okay. Dwayne Wade's not going to come here and be a nightly superstar like he once was in Miami, but he's capable of turning Chicago back into a destination. It hasn't been a destination for a lot of big-name free agents. Now, Dwayne Wade's past his prime, and he'll be the first to admit that. But other players around the league are watching two things. They're watching Dwayne Wade having fun here. For now, he's still in high regard, and he still has good respect for the management group. And they're also looking at Jimmy Butler and thinking, wow, I can play with this guy.
And the idea that the Chicago Bulls, you play in the Chicago Bulls in a Chicago market, that's good for your career. Look, well, what's happened to Jimmy Butler. He's on all the TV shows. He's getting commercials, things like that.
You brought up the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
That, in 2008, is what brought LeBron and Wade and Bosch together because they became friends playing for the Olympic team. That's how it started. So look at some of these guys that have played with Jimmy Butler on this recent Olympic team. DeMarcus Cousins is a free agent after next season. Paul George, I don't know how much longer on his contract in Indiana. But you have players,
there are some players
that are
that
growing and
Chicago.
Building relationships yeah. with Jimmy okay. Butler. And if you say, oh, well, Dwayne Wade's there too, now it becomes easier to recruit when guys like Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade are picking up the phone.
And you can make an argument that in this day and age, in the last 6 years of the NBA, the big three, when you talk about LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, that's how the NBA works. So people want to be a part of that. They want to find their own big three. They want to be a part of that. So maybe that works. Okay, what's your third thing?
Third thing is that the season's halfway over. No, third thing is that you have sort of identified a couple players under the age of 24 that you think can grow in this system with this coach. Jaren Grant, who was traded from the Knicks.
He's getting a lot of minutes.
Getting a lot of minutes. Athletic guy. Love his athleticism out of Notre Dame. Tonight, Grant had 14 points. He was a +8, 4 assists. He played solid tonight. Felicio, the big guy. He's like 7'2". He's like a 7'1", 7'2", 260-pound bouncy ball. Really athletic. Really good putback dunks. And then Valentine, Denzel Valentine, your first-round pick from this year. He had 19 against the Wizards the other night. So you've got a couple young guys, but you've got to make room for said young guys and stop giving Rondo and Paul Zipser and Michael Carter-Williams their minutes.
Well, I mean, okay, so let's talk about the second half of the season. The Chicago Bulls seem to be, from the naked eye, a team that likes to play up to their competition, meaning they get the Spurs or the Raptors or the Cavaliers, and it's a competitive game, and Dwayne Wade looks like he's 25, and they win the game. When they play, I don't know, the Knicks or, you know, any team that I've seen games that have just been duds where it's just, you get the feeling that, you know, Dwayne Wade just like, yeah, this is the part of the NBA I don't like, having to play this game in New York tonight. I mean, is that a recipe for primetime when it comes to April, May in the NBA? I mean, these guys, let's say they do get into the playoffs and they get a matchup with the Toronto Raptors, it could go the right way in the sense that they've got some primetime players that know the spotlight.
That's probably the one team in the East they want. They've beaten the Raptors 10 times in a row. For some reason, in the NBA, there are just some matchups that work in your favor, and they should get in. If Jimmy stays healthy and Wade doesn't flatline at the end of the season, I think they'll make the playoffs. They should be a 6, 7, or 8 seed because you mentioned the Eastern Conference is awful. They should get in there. They can win a couple of games. They can win a series. After that, though, you just don't know.
Yeah, we need to get a couple Game 7s going here.
A couple.
A couple, right?
A couple.
We need to win two Game 7s and get to a showdown to a 6-game series with the Cavs. And we push it. And the only reason we don't win is because Jimmy Butler rolls an ankle in Game 5. After being tripped by LeBron James. Now, you know, we can go all into it.
You know what would happen. The Bulls would win game one somehow, and then they'd lose the next
yeah, right,
four.
Exactly.
It's happened multiple times.
We've only got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about the NBA. I you know, I didn't get a chance to pay attention too much. I'm very interested in the Western Conference. The Houston Rockets are 31-10. What I mean, James Harden, of course, a tremendous, tremendous talent, MVP talk. Are they a team that, I mean, you talk about DeMarcus Cousins having a tremendous year, the Houston Rockets being 31 wins already, the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant. I mean, there are some storylines that are kind of percolating in the NBA.
Certainly. I mean, Golden State 33-6, San Antonio, who you didn't mention, they always get lost in the conversation.
Yeah.
31-8, they're in second. The Rockets 31-10. The Clippers are there with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin 27-14. I think the most fascinating story is that Tom Thibodeau is ready to bubble over in Minnesota. Well, they're 13-26. They're out of the playoff hunt by about four games right now. That's not going to get better. But now he is growing so impatient that he wants to trade his young studs.
He wants them all out.
He wants to trade them for older players because Tom Thibodeau doesn't want to wait 2 years.
Yeah, he wants Kevin Garnett.
Do your job.
Maybe he'd take Rajon Rondo back from his days in Boston,
he'd take
right?
Taj. I know he wanted Jimmy at the trade that or at the draft night. I know that he was the one floating that rumor. Hey, the Bulls are trying to trade Jimmy.
The team that I find fascinating right now is the Utah Jazz at 24-16. They're the 5 seed. They beat LeBron last night or the night before.
Gordon Hayward
and team. I mean, the Utah Jazz are doing what the Chicago Bulls should have done. They rebuilt and they have a lot of young players, and here they are. Actually looking formidable in the West, which is much tougher than the East.
It's amazing what happens to young players when they get to play, isn't it? When you have young players, it's like, all right, you're ready to go? No, let me bring in a veteran to take your minutes. It's hard to get better, and that's the knock on McDermott. He hasn't had enough of an opportunity. He still doesn't make open jump shots, though, and he doesn't guard anybody. So you look for the Grants, the Felicios, the Valentines, the Portises, just to get more minutes. The problem is the Bulls, as a basketball side of things, they're trying to do one thing. The business side wants them to win games and make the playoffs.
Right.
So it's hard to develop younger players when the agendas are not on the same page.
Well, Sam, we got a lot to talk about the NBA.
Yes.
We should just do this all the time and just not talk about the Bulls.
I'm sure your listeners would love it.
Let's just talk about the Utah Jazz the entire time. Sam Panayotovich, WGN Sports. Good to see you, buddy.
You too.
Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau.